And I'd like to remind all parties today's call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect. Thank you.
Thank you, Catherine. Hello, everyone. This is Shane Lind, your ARIS moderator for today. Through the help of amateur radio volunteers and the crew on the ISS, we soon hope to establish radio contact with the International Space Station as it flies more than 400 kilometres above the Earth over Maryland, United States of America. This is all accomplished through ARIS, which is Amateur Radio on the International Space Station. The ISS is currently approaching the US West Coast, travelling along at around 27,000 kilometres an hour. The contact for today will be performed using the ARIS Telebridge Network, which is a worldwide network of amateur radio ground stations that enable students to contact the ISS. ARIS is an international consortium of volunteers from several nations that have assisted to develop and operate the amateur radio equipment on board the International Space Station. Those that support ARIS are the American Radio Relay League, the Worldwide AMSAT Amateur Radio Satellite Corporation, the Canadian Space Agency, the European Space Agency, the Japanese Space Agency, and Roscosmos, the Russian Space Agency, and of course NASA. The amateur radio ground station that will establish radio contact with the International Space Station today is amateur K6DUE, located in Maryland, USA, and operated by Ken McCoy, whose amateur radio call sign is N3FZX, Bob McCown, who's N3IYI, and Tommy Owens, N3TJO, also assisting. So thanks for helping us out today, guys.
Hello.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
Thank you. Well, we have around 5 minutes until contact time. Our link up today will be with the students at the Walkerston State School in Queensland, Australia. Now, let's check in with the group, and we've asked teacher Mrs. Raylene Scott to please tell us about the students that are taking part today.
Hi. I would like to start firstly by acknowledging the traditional owners of the land upon which we meet tonight and pay respect to elders past, present and emerging. Walkerston State School may be a small community school, 14 kilometres southwest of Mackay, but we are very fortunate to have a wonderful team of committed staff and a STEM partnership with Mr. Stephen Basalo, who continually provides our students with challenging, meaningful and rich learning experiences. Tonight, 15 of our Year 4 to Year 6 students, 3 students from each of the 5 classes at Walkerston State School, have direct contact via amateur radio. We'd like to thank the ARIS program for allowing Temi, Indy, Charlie, Noah, Mason, Louisa, Peyton, Pippa, Maya, Chloe, Quinn, Abigail, Ruby, Tamika and Braden the opportunity to partake in this educational inspiring experience. Some of these students are currently studying in Term 4 a space unit in science or have done so previously, studying celestial bodies and inventions that have developed people's science knowledge such as the ISS. In attendance tonight, we have approximately 60 to 70 family members and staff in the School Resource Centre with an amazing display of artwork. The students in front of me right now are proud and keen ambassadors for our school. So everybody, please enjoy this opportunity of a lifetime. Thank you, students. Thank you, family.
And thank you, Mrs. Scott. Ken, before the contact begins, can you please tell us about your amateur radio station, where you are, and how you'll handle the conversation? Over to you.
Thank you. We are pleased to be here today to help you with your ISS contact. Amateur radio station K6DUE is located on the top floor of the building at NASA Goddard Space Flight Center in Greenbelt, Maryland. You're just north of Washington, D.C. On the roof is a directional antenna high above the ground that will be pointed at the ISS as it passes directly over our location. The antenna is connected to a radio. It is also connected to the phone line that we're using to talk to you. We use a computer running satellite tracking software to tell us where the ISS is. It steers the antenna to maintain a good signal for the duration of the pass and controls the radio to compensate for Doppler shift. The operator here at K6DUE will control the radio's transmit and receive modes, while the astronaut controls the ISS radio. Only one station can talk at a time, while the other listens. That is why it is very important to clearly say over so that we know when to switch the radio back to receive mode so you can hear the astronaut's reply to your question. Just before the pass is to start and we get ready to call ISS, we will open the radio squelch and we hear static that sounds like this. You will hear some of the static until ISS answers our call. Once we have established contact, we will turn it over to the first student to ask their question. We wish you great success. We are now 1 minute and 12 seconds to AOS. Back to you. Over.
Great. Thank you for that. Much appreciated. Well, we have around 1 minute before the space station comes over the horizon. Remember, what we're doing on the ISS is an experiment, so we can never tell the results positive or negative until the experiment is over. And students, as our ground station has already stated, please don't forget to say the word over at the end of your question. It's very important so they can switch between transmit and receive. Okay, in a short time, the station will be coming over Maryland, so it's all yours, Ken, and we'll stand by. I know we're just a little bit early, and we'll just stand by for you as you obtain acquisition of signal.
Okay, very good. The antennas are now being moved in position, and we are about 20 seconds here from AOS. We will try to call early. Sometimes we're able to hear them just a bit early. Here we go. NA1SS, NA1SS, this is K6DUE calling for scheduled school contact. Over. NA1SS, NA1SS, this is K6DUE calling for scheduled school contact. Over.
Kilo 6 Delta Uniform Echo, this is NA1SS. How do you hear me?
NA1SS, here is K6DUE. We hear you loud and clear here at Goddard Space Flight Center. How are you hearing us? Over.
I have you loud and clear on space station. Over.
Okay, very good. Well, we're going to go ahead and get started here. School, go ahead with your first question.
Hi, this is Temi. How long did it take to become an official astronaut? Over.
Hey, Temi. To become an official astronaut, it takes a lot of training. I started in 2017, so 6 years ago, and we had 2 years of basic training where we just learn all the kind of basics of being an astronaut. And then when I got assigned to this mission, I had 2 more years of training just for this mission.
Hi, this is Indy. What inspired you to be an astronaut? Over.
Hi, Indy. I grew up always being really interested in exploration and dreaming about places I'd never been. I lived near the woods, so I was always spending time in the woods and exploring there, and I also read a lot of books that made me dream about the different places and being an astronaut.
Hi, this is Charlie. How do the astronauts of different nationalities understand each other? Over.
Hi, Charlie. So on Space Station, the official language is English. So we speak English, but we also study the languages of our partners, especially Russian. But then also we get along really well because we all share a common mission. We come from all different backgrounds, all different countries, but we're here with a common mission doing a similar job. And so we understand each other in that.
This is Noah. To protect the integrity of the ISS, what is the space station made up of to keep it together? Over.
Hi, Noah. So space station is made up of different modules, which are just pressurized compartments, and they're connected with hatches. So if something were to happen to one of our modules, we could close the hatch in between that module and the rest of space station to protect our atmosphere. Over.
Hi, this is Mason. How's the International Space Station controlled? Over.
Hi, Mason. The space station is actually controlled mostly by a very big team on the ground. There's lots of people on the ground 24/7, so all the time in mission control, and they are able to send commands to space station to mostly run the vehicle. And then the astronauts on board, we do things that the ground controllers can't do, like connect cables, open valves, and occasionally we send commands too.
Hi, this is Louisa. What experiments are being conducted on the space station? Over.
Hi, Lisa. There's all sorts of science happening up here. One of the big things I'm involved in is a medical study, a medical research study, where I'm actually the subject. And it's geared towards learning how the human body adapts in space and how we can take better care of our astronauts as we start exploring further, like going to the moon and Mars. There's also all sorts of different physics experiments, life sciences experiments, and material sciences experiments that we get to work on every day. Over.
Hi, this is Peyton. Can you see the north or south pole as you orbit the Earth? Over.
Hi, Peyton. I would love to see the north or south pole as we orbit, but unfortunately, usually our orbits don't take us that far north or that far south. We get pretty close to Antarctica, for example, but it's usually pretty cloudy, so I haven't actually gotten to see that continent yet. We do get to see the northern lights, though, when we're over parts of northern Canada and Russia and the northern oceans, and that's pretty amazing. Over.
Hi, this is Pippa. Can you distinguish day from night when in space? Over.
Hi, Pippa. Yes, we can. We have a couple windows that we get to look out at, and we see a sunrise and a sunset every 90 minutes. So that's about 16 sunrises and sunsets every day. And when we look outside and it's dark, we can see all the lights on Earth and also a lot of stars. And then during the day, of course, we get to see our beautiful planet. Over.
Hi, this is Maya. How do you keep fit and exercise each day on space? Over.
Hi, Maya. We actually exercise for 2.5 hours a day, and we get to lift weights. We have this device up here called ARED that lets us do weightlifting, and then we also have a treadmill to run on, and we have a bicycle that we can cycle on. Over.
Hi, this is Chloe. How long do spacewalks go on for? Over.
Hi, Chloe. Spacewalks usually last for 6 to 7 hours. I actually just did a spacewalk 2 days ago, and it lasted for 6 hours and 42 minutes. But we're actually in the suit for about 10 hours on spacewalk days because we breathe oxygen in the suit for a few hours before we go outside. Over.
Hi, I'm Quinn. What is the best part of a spacewalk? Over.
Hi, Quinn. I think the best part of a spacewalk first was just getting to look at Earth and space station from outside in my own little space station, my spacesuit. And then really at the end of the day, the best part was accomplishing a really challenging task and working with my partner, Jasmine, who was outside with me, and also with the whole team on the ground. Spacewalks are always pretty difficult, but also so rewarding at the end of the day. Over.
Hi, this is Abigail. Is it true that no gravity on the human spine affects the rate on how tall astronauts grow? Over.
Hi, Abigail. It is true. We actually get 1 to 2 inches taller in space as our spines stretch out, but we usually go back to our original height once we get back to Earth. Over.
Hi, this is Ruby. What are the challenges when you return to Earth after being in space with zero gravity? Over.
Hi, Ruby. It's really interesting because our bodies adapt really fast to microgravity, and then they also adapt pretty quickly when we return to Earth. However, when we first get back to Earth, we have a really messed up sense of balance, so it's easy to get dizzy or nauseous or just kind of, you know, be wobbly when you're walking around. And then also just learning how to move around with gravity again, because our bodies have spent 6 months just floating around, You have all sorts of new loads on your body, so things like back pain is pretty common. Over.
Hi, this is Tamika. Are astronauts today changing their lifestyle in space in order to improve their survival rate? Over.
Hi, Tamika. Yes. So we're always studying the human body, and the space station has been the best laboratory for doing that. So for the last 23 years, we've had humans living and working in space, and we are always studying them to figure out how we can take better care of our astronauts as we go farther and farther into space and, you know, plan to stay like places like on the moon for even longer than the missions that we do now. And probably one of the biggest things that we've learned how to do is just the physical training routines that we do, and that's always helping us stay strong and stay strong for once we get back on Earth.
Hi, I'm Braden. And will the International Space Station be decommissioned, and where will it land? Over.
Hi, Braden. That's a great question because it's one that we are still figuring out. Right now, all of our partners and the United States are committed through 2028 and 2030, but there are plans and work beyond that to keep it operating. Whenever it does land, we will make sure that it lands in an ocean far from anywhere that people live over.
Hi, this is Mrs. Scott. Do you have any advice that you would like to share with the Wilkeson State School students should they be inspired to pursue a future career in the space industry? Over.
That's a great question, and yes, I would first say just follow your dreams no matter what they are. There are all sorts of jobs that are needed in the space industry. We are supported, it's not just the astronauts, we're supported by doctors, artists, writers, engineers, scientists, any job that you might think of that needs to be done in a small town on Earth. The space industry needs that job. So there's so many opportunities to do that. I would encourage students to follow their dreams. It's also important to study hard and just know a wide variety of subjects, and that helps you not just in the space industry, but in life in general. And last of all, take care of yourself and be a good teammate. So treat others well. Over.
Let's give a big thank you to Laurel from On ISS.
NA1SS, this is the Wilkeson State School. Please stand by one moment and we'll give you a loud round of applause. Thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you, thanks for all the great questions. It was awesome talking to you.
NA1SS from K6DUE, thank you very much. We are clear.
Excellent. Very good.
Great job, everybody.
Yeah, that was a really good contact. Well timed. Ladies and gentlemen, we've just shared a wow moment in history. Amateur radio station K6DUE, operated by Ken McCoy, with assistance from Bob McCowan and Tommy Owens, contacted astronaut Laurel O'Hara, KI5TOM, on board the International Space Station, and spoke with students and teachers at the Wilkeson State School, Queensland, Australia. Now, for the international volunteer team of ARIS, including the amateur radio satellite corporations around the world, the American Radio Relay League, the Canadian Space Agency, the European Space Agency, the Japanese Space Agency, Roscosmos, and NASA, this is Shane Lind, amateur radio operator VK4KHZ from Mackay, Queensland, Australia, sending my greetings to you all in amateur radio term 7-3s, which means best wishes. Well done, Wilkeson. K6DUE, thanks very much for your efforts there, guys. It was really good, and the students thoroughly enjoyed the contact. Thank you.
You're most welcome. Everybody did a great job.
Should we send the success message, or does Shane want to do that?
Or are you going to send the success message to the ARIS group?
I'm probably going to be a couple of hours before I get back home. If you've got an opportunity to do it at this point, that would be much appreciated. If not, I can do it when I get home. Over.
We'll send it.
We'll send something.
great. Much appreciated. Thanks for that, guys. All the best and have a good day.
Thank you, Shane.
And Catherine, you may now stop the recording.
Thank you.